Guys, I thought I'd share my personal ethos, my 7 rules of how I look after lot owners. So the first one is front and foremost, in the front of my mind, keeping in mind that I'm always going to need my lot owners more than they will need me. And that's because there's many, many, many strata managers out there. So it's important to be humble. The second thing is that all of my lot owners are people, which means that they have good days, they have bad days, they have a flobbity gajillion things going on other than what it is that they might be dealing with me in addition to. So they'll generally get quite a bit of leeway with me, and I try to be empathetic at all times. The number 3 consideration is that I am accountable at all times. I don't care if Australia Post delivered their levies late, I will apologise for that because I realise they're inconvenienced and I want to recognise that inconvenience. Number 4, people act on emotion, and this is so true. Doesn't matter about the logic in a situation, you can explain things to lot owners. At the end of the day, if they don't trust you, if they don't like you, they're not going to want to keep you around. This is so important, so important. Number 5 is that owners, they do things for their own reasons. They don't do things for reasons that work for me. It's for their own reasons. So sometimes they're going to be motivated by issues that I'm not aware of in the background, forcing their hand. So the practical application of that, I guess, is when I have an owner that's unhappy and they come to me because they're complaining about a decision that the committee's made that they don't understand, I usually go through the process of trying to explain the decision to them. But if they're still unhappy, then I'm basically giving them their options to bring an application, because that's the best that I can do if a letter of complaint to the committee hasn't got them where they need to be. Number 6, people, lot owners, do not deliberately do things to be stupid. They do things because they make decisions because sometimes they don't have all of the information in front of them. Oftentimes this means that there needs to be an investment of time from me. What is the information that's missing from this person's knowledge about this process? What can I help them with? How can I sort of make it a little bit clearer? And in many circumstances, I have to overcome. People are embarrassed about asking questions. They might have spent $650,000 on a unit, but if they don't know how their levies are calculated, oftentimes you will just get anger. And number 7, I always try to give more than what they're asking for. So if I can answer the question that is in front of me, but also the other questions that I'm aware of that normally arise as a result of the transaction they're contemplating, I will do that, rather than have them come back to me 3 or 4 times to sort of get all the rest of the information. I think that's annoying. That may mean that I have to write a longer email than usual, or I might have to chew their ear on the phone for a little bit longer than they might have bargained for. But I figure if I give them all of the information, all the information that I can predict is going to be relevant to their situation, hopefully they'll go away feeling that they've been heard, and they'll be feeling that they've got a way to move forward. So that's my customer methodology, items 1 through 7.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.